Hi, everybody. Welcome to Babs Buzz. I'm so excited to be with you this week. I can't even tell you what a month it's been. You've probably had a month like mine. I know how hard it is to get stuff on the page. Believe me, when I'm writing a pitch, I've written novels. You go through drafts. You make yourself crazy. We're going to talk about the pitch today, but I want to talk about rewrites and stuff first really quickly. I've read a lot of scripts from you guys this month, dozens of them, and I can usually tell by the first five pages. And sometimes the very first page, page one, where it's going. That doesn't mean you're a bad writer. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you might want to rewrite it. And if I kick it back to you and say, take out some ing words, get rid of some ly words, my anticipation is that you're not going to argue with me. You have a choice. Do it or don't. Okay. So having said that, let's talk about the pitch. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to announce the winners. The winner of the werewolf contest, and there's a winner, a runner-up, and an honorable mention. Okay, so pitching. What is the point of pitching? Let's talk about two books. I'm a big book person. And let me tell you why I'm a big book person. It's not to offload the responsibility from me to them, although that's nice. I wish I could do that. But what it does for you is, and for me, it really helps you learn the language. It helps you learn the language of the business you've chosen. Now, you may think that that's nothing and it's not important and it doesn't matter. Let me tell you why it does. Got a pitch this week from a guy, sweetheart, out of the blue. I've got this guy attached. I've got this producer attached. I've got this director attached. I need some help. Well, when an agent like me sees that, that's nice. I can write up the deal. You know, it's 10% WGA minimum. That's what I make. Nothing fancy. Just go to the Guild website. Tells you all about it. And that's just the agent's share. And then I'm reading this pitch and I'm thinking, well, you know, trust but verify. So I call up the managers of the persons this guy mentioned in the pitch. And first manager is like, oh, I don't know anything about it. Let me check with my client. This is the star of the picture. So I'm waiting on that. I get a call from the producer. The producer goes, yeah, we're loosely attached, but there's no money right now and yada, yada, yada. And I kind of wish the writer hadn't done that. And I said, done what? And he said, well, we shouldn't have pitched yet because we're not really ready. And the script, you know, is kind of not done, even though it's good. But the director is on a big shoot right now. And so he really shouldn't be doing this. The point is, the writer didn't know this. So that's why I'm going to talk about some books and how to pitch. And now I talked to the writer. I talked him in off a ledge. He's like, oh, please don't think I'm a moron. And I said, I don't think you're a moron. Please. That's not what I was trying to do. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to tell you that even though there's no book about how we teach, I mean, how we do this business, let me teach you some of the things I've learned from my own fender benders, you know? Okay, so here we go. So this is about pitching. I got permission from Matthew Vogels, talented writer, to use his pitch letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a little long. It's perfect for me, but it's not for this show. I got a pitch letter from Matthew Vogels, nice guy in Littleton, Colorado, talented writer. This is how he, now, first of all, I have to tell you, the page looks nice. He's got his name. It's his professional letterhead. It's nothing expensive or fancy. It's elegant, simple, neat, very clean. White page. His name in blue. His address, his contact info, which, by the way, a lot of people leave off. You got to make sure we can find you. Okay. Dear Babs, he used my name, which was nice. I have three screenplays I feel would be perfect for your review. And then he gives me the title, what it's about, very briefly, and a snippet of the log line. He gives me three pitches. Recollection, Sector 6, and Anamnesis. I hope I'm saying that right. Anyway, yeah. And the one I asked him about was Anamnesis because I'm looking for thrillers. But this is how he closed. I've currently completed a several full-length screenplays and have a few others in the works. I've won multiple awards. This is important to folks like me because when I know that you've won awards, it doesn't really matter that you've won them, although that's nice and you get all these wonderful bragging rights, but it shows that you've sort of honed the craft to a point where it's got high readability, what we call high readability. Okay, so I've won multiple awards competitions in both screenwriting and short stories alike through the University of Colorado as well as other local companies. I've also been ranked among the most, I was put in the honorable mention list of the AAA screenplay competition. The point is, the guy didn't tell me about his grandmother. And believe me when I tell you, this is God's honest truth. I get pitches like that. I've made my friends and associates at work laugh and cry. Oh, so what? Sorry, I don't mean to be snarky, but I don't care. I want to know that you know the craft of story, that you're pitching me an intelligent pitch. The only thing missing from this pitch, I would have liked it if Matthew put the page count. I like snippets of information given to me very quickly because I get mail from all over the world. So the only thing I would have changed in Matt's pitch is I would have put the title, the page count, and the genre, then the snippet, right? So what you do is, if you have multiple titles to pitch, and make it your best, please. Don't throw in, garbage in, garbage out. So I would have put recollection, thriller, 110 pages, and then the log line. And that's the only thing I would have done differently, and I would have done that in bold, because most word processors, computers can do that for you now. And guess what? It catches my eye. When I see somebody that says sends me a comedy that's 140 pages, you know what I think? You are drinking. So don't, don't try to impress me with all of your words. I want to see something that running time is for a comedy is 100, 120 max. That's pushing it. That's hangover, knocked up territory. I love knocked up. If you have a knocked up out there without the profanity, send it to me. The wackier, the better. I'll even take the occasional S word. I don't like the F bomb. I think it really dilutes writing, but you all know that already, so I don't want to be a broken record. Now let's talk about the pitch itself. You got to pick up Selling Your Story in 60 Seconds by Michael Haig. Michael Haig is a genius. Why? Because he's mastered the art of the complicated by an elegant, simple book, Selling Your Story in 60 Seconds. Michael Haig, H-A-U-G-E, is a gem. I have not met him. I've seen him in action. He's a gem. He's terrific. I'm going to cut to it. Okay, kids? Your time is money. I'm going to give this to you as straight as I can. Here we go. Here's the money line. I'll even tell you the page so you can flip to it and see it yourself. Page 134. The primary difference is that an amateur wants us to market his script and a professional wants us to let him know how to make his script marketable. I'm going to repeat that because it bears repeating. The primary difference is that an amateur wants us to market his script and a professional wants us to let him know how to make his script marketable. Huge but subtle difference. Why? Because when a professional comes up to me and says, here's my story, here's what it looks like, here's what it means, tell me what I got to do to make it marketable. Oh my gosh, this is a beautiful thing. I think Michael may have sent me a pitch from a guy with a vampire movie. I'm on the hunt for vampire movies. Thank you very much. Hollywood earned $7 billion from vampire movies last year. I earned none of that. So I'm, of course, now looking for these wonderful vampire movies. And it's got to be different. And I don't want baby vampires. That's been done. So I'm looking around for vampire movies. And I think Michael pitched me a guy who said, I've got this movie. And it's a really good premise. It's rock solid. But this is what I've learned. And I'm going to tell you this because it's important. If you're going to put it all out there, you're going to put it on the page, you need to pay attention to this next snippet. If you've heard nothing else so far, you need to hear this. If you don't want to rewrite it, don't bother me. I don't want to know from it. If you think that everything you put on the page is perfect, shoot it yourself. Or go find another agent who will tell you what you want to hear. I've learned my limitations, and that's one of them. I only have one writer that I take that from. One. And he's earned the right to have that posture. Okay? Everybody else, all bets are off. And the good news is my clients know what a good wordsmith I am and how I'm working on my craft of pitching and my craft of producing a really solid, intelligent pitch and one sheet and how I'm helping them craft their script. I'm a good editor. I've been blessed that way. I've been trained by some of the best. I took to it very well. I have an excellent ear for dialogue. So don't argue with me when I ask you to change a scene or flip something. It's not that I'm trying to, I don't want to put my imprint on it. That has nothing to do. It's not about me, ever. It's about getting you sold. This isn't complicated. You guys know this. I want to make a few bucks. Now, I do it for the passion, but I'd like to make some money. And I had a pretty decent year, so I can't complain. All right, so you know about Matthew's letter. He did a great job. So props to Michael, Matthew for that. Thanks, Michael Haig, for selling your story in 60 seconds. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road. PitchFest is coming up in September. I'm going to be teaching a class at the Hilton on how to pitch. Basically, what I'm doing here for you guys, I'm going to be doing in a more elaborate sense and in heels at the Universal. So, Hilton Universal. So the goal of a snail mail pitch is simply what I said earlier. You want to entice someone to read you. Now, the goal to the face-to-face pitch at PitchFest is to entice someone to want to talk to you again, or it's the same thing that the snail mail pitch does, but now you're trying to make real contacts. So before I get to how you do that and how I like to hear pitches, I want to tell you about one more book this week I'm actually going to try and tell you about different books each show if I can. How to Sell Your Screenplay by Lydia Whelan and Joan Whelan. Oh my gosh, this book is such great reading. I haven't met Lydia or Joan. I don't even know if they're alive. I don't know anything about them. And it's a shame because the talent that is poured into this book, first of all, not for nothing, in the front of the book, it's got a dictionary of all the words that you guys need to know. Below the line, above the line, signatory. I mean, you guys got to know the language of the business we're in. It tells you about how much money we make. I know some of you are really bent on that. Well, if you're bent on that, I'm never going to talk, but you can find out the information that's afforded to you publicly pretty much anywhere. The truth of the matter is, I don't want my writers, you know, competing with each other when one makes one and the other finds out that he's made this and they're like, well, what about me? It makes for an ugly home. It makes for an ugly stable. So I don't like to talk about money. It's nobody's business but mine. And sadly, the guy who takes my taxes. So forget that. But that book, How to Sell Your Screenplay by Lydia and Joan Whelan, is out of this world. It's required reading. You'll probably read it in a weekend. You might even read it in one day. It's that good. So when you're selling face-to-face, the pitch, once you've read How to Sell Your Story in 60 Seconds and How to Sell Your Screenplay, now you've got the language arsenal. And by the way, don't underestimate this. This is huge. When people come into me and talk my language, when they sit down and say to me, well, you know, the below-the-line costs are going to be really, really cheap on this. The biggest problem is it's going to need a star to pull it through. So above the line, I'm looking at $10 million. When they start talking my talk, I'm very, very, very happy. I don't even need a glass of wine when I hear that. It's like, yay. Okay, so if you're talking my language, I'm going to be listening. When you sit down and do a pitch, I was very nervous the first time I pitched a producer. I got very dry throat. I remember it like it was yesterday. I knew my story backwards and forwards, but it happens. This is what I did. I did something right. I said to him, would you mind if I came back? He said, not at all. Now, I ask you, who's going to say no? They're not going to say no. You just go to the person who runs the floor and say, listen, I sat in front of the guy over at ABC. I kind of froze. He knows it. I'm going to go gather myself. Do I have to wait online again or can I come back and when I feel ready, squeeze in? They're going to say yes. If they say no, be nice, forget it, and wait online again. There may be something that you're unaware of that they have to take care of. So don't freak out if they say no. But if you freeze and you know you're blowing it, ask for take two. They'll think it's sweet. They'll think you're colorful and off you go. All right. So now let's say you're going to pitch face to face. You've got your 2.5 minutes. First of all, do not forget to bring a one sheet. What is a one sheet? You know, the movie posters, right? When you walk into the theater, you see these wonderful bits of art with what the movie's about and who's in it and the credits and way down teeny weeny 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 teeny 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 tiny, you see written by. Okay. So the one sheet is a snapshot of the impression of what the film is about. Now, I must tell you, one of my writers, Jason, I mentioned him in the past, he sends me this one sheet for a movie that we have called Dream Man. Oh my gosh, the image that he put together and the way he put it, it was just staggering. I showed it to my husband, Peter. My husband just looked at it and went, wow. And this is the kind of skill he has. You do not have to be intimidated by that skill. You could find a nice picture of a bloody rose, put it in the middle of a picture, and talk about your vampire movie. You do not have to have the graphic skill of a Jason or a Lynn Christensen or a Debbie Scott. It's nice, but you don't have to have it. Or Greg Hill. Greg Hill is a guitarist at my church. The guy can, I mean, he's just amazing. He puts a one sheet together in his sleep. Yeah, honestly, I don't care about that. The reason why I'm telling you to bring one sheet is this, and this is important. You're paying attention? You listening? Say yes. Okay. We see so many people when they sit down, we get tired. You get tired. And having a leave behind, which is also known as the one sheet, which has the synopsis and your contact information on the back or the front with a small little clip art picture, it doesn't have to be fancy, reminds us of who you are. So it's nice to have that. Also, let me tell you about what happened to me at a pitch fest a couple of years ago. I had to catch a flight. I may have told you this, but I'll tell you again real quick. I had to catch a flight, and this really nice runner on the floor, she says, Barbara, this woman flew in from Seattle to see you, just you. Please, 2 minutes. I go, 2 minutes, that's it. So I'm standing gathering my things because I don't want to sit because I don't want to get comfortable. I don't want her to get comfortable. I want her to know that I'm leaving. And she just hands me this one sheet, and it's drop-dead stunning. It's this nurse with a hypodermic. There's blood in it, and the hypodermic is wrapped with a $100 bill. I mean, it's called Nurse Shark. It's dazzling. And I look at it and now I sit down, right? Because this is just, it's gorgeous. We get to talk and a year later I sign her. So as I sign her, I learn that a couple of things about PitchFest. One of the things I learn is, wow, you may actually find some talent at PitchFest. And truly, you know what? That's the goal. While you're there trying to make contacts and try to tell people about your skill, we're also out looking for product. I mean, we want scripts. It's really important to us that we find product that we may be able to sell either now or in the future. I wasn't able to sign Lynn immediately, but I kept her information and I said, I'm going to hang on to this. I got a feeling about this chick. And so I think almost a year later, Lynn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I called her up and I said, listen, I got a call for a nurse horror flick. Let's talk about this picture you have and let's kind of juice it up a little bit and see if in fact we can make it just a little more edgy. She's like, I'm all ears. What do you need? And I said, well, act the end of act one, think about this. And she's like, you got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. Well, six scripts later and an option later, I represent this woman. Now, she hasn't made a dime on it on any of them. Neither have I. What's the moral of the story? Number one, she's getting a ton of experience and she's having a ball and she's living her life. She doesn't have everything vested in whether or not she sells a movie script. Number two, we're both experiencing that which life has to offer, which is inherently the joy of creating things. People make babies, they make novels, they make jam, whatever floats your boat that you want to be creative with, however you feel that you could participate. She's doing that. She's helping other writers, by the way. She gave me coverage on a script for a friend of mine. The coverage was quite good. She did a very, very marvelous job. So now when you sit down at PitchFest, you've got your one sheet. I would open with this. Let me tell you how I came up with this story. I met a guy who ran an apartment building and he said he had a story to sell because he survived World War II Shanghai. And he found that the story was little known by a lot of people that he knew. And every time he'd tell the story, they were shocked that there was a ghetto in Shanghai with Jews and people from around the world that were being chased because of the Nazis. He said, well, when I was shot at 10 years old and abandoned, a Chinese family rescued me. And that's my story. So I said to him, well, what's the rest of it? You know, I had to know more. Well, I wrote that book and that's basically how I pitched it to a producer, who said, I want the option. And I'm working with a producer right now on the option. The point is, I didn't say, okay, picture this. It's a guy with a gun and a bunny. You know, I didn't get into this whole sort of movie-esque kind of thing. I just said, let me tell you, I met this guy. He survived. I love when writers sit down and say to me, let me tell you how I came up with this. I was walking through the park and I found a body. That made it easy because I had to call the cops. And then I found myself in this whirlwind of a criminal investigation that I knew nothing about, but I couldn't let it go. This is an interesting, because here's what you're doing, really. You're just kind of cocktail talking, right? You're sitting back. And I'm not saying be casually presumptuous. What I'm saying to you is have a Tic Tac in your mouth. Don't wear too much cologne. Make sure you have a little deodorant on and just talk. You don't have to, because you're not going to sell your movie there. Basically, what you're doing is you're standing in a game room and you're throwing darts. And a couple are going to stick and a couple are not. And you may get picked up by an agent or a manager or a producer, and he may run an option. But let me tell you, the distance from a pitch fest to a green light is from here to the moon. And honestly, everything has to line up to make that happen. It is not your job to sell them on the movie. It's your job to let them see and share with you how cool the idea is and how interesting the story is. You want to engage them. How do you do that? Here you go. You ready? Paying attention? You could pause it right here if you want to write it down. I can wait. You got to memorize it. That's it. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. You have to memorize your pitch top to bottom. You do not have to pitch in 60 seconds. You can use 30. You can use 38. You can use 49. You can use 60. What I am telling you is you must memorize your pitch. If you do not memorize your pitch, you will not get it out. You may get it out, but it's going to be fragmented. You have to memorize it. How do you do that? The easiest way I know is to read it, tape it, and play it over and over and over and over again. I like to speak extemporaneously. Michael doesn't really like me to read things when I'm doing the show for you. And we agreed that that is the way to go, that I should just speak extemporaneously and off the cuff, you know, kind of, and not really read stuff. And so I promised him I wouldn't read stuff. But when I go back and listen to the show. I hear things that I can fix, but I also hear things that I like, right? So what you'll do is when you're taping your pitch, and it sounds so silly, but it's perfect. I mean, it's utterly perfect. You could tape it on your cell phone. You could play it for your friends. You can listen to how it sounds. You can hear if it sounds intelligent. You can hear if it sounds silly. Maybe your story is silly. So what? Maybe you're selling a wacky comedy. Like I said, I just saw Knocked Up for the first time. I'm so behind with my movie watching, guys. I can't even tell you. Knocked Up is hysterical. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. All I'm saying to you is that if you memorize your pitch before Pitch Fest, you're going to have a great time. Now, I'm going to be there, and people are like me that teach you how to do all this stuff. It's really exhilarating to listen to you guys tell us your stories. Don't come with a laptop and give me a PowerPoint display. Don't sit down with a piece of contact paper the size of the ceiling fan in my living room and show me the character's mock-up. Just bring an 8.5 by 11 one sheet, contact information. And when I say your synopsis, I mean nothing fancy, beginning, middle, and end. You don't have to go crazy. It doesn't have to be Hemingway, but you want me to be interested in your story. The only reason why I took the time with Lynn is because someone pleaded with me, oh my God, she flew in all the way here. Okay. So I get a shot of guilt. But when I sat down, when she hands me this one sheet, I had to sit down. It was that beautiful. If you have that skill, bring it with you. If you have that marketing edge, bring it with you. It is not critical. You can even leave a one sheet with no picture. Just bring something, bring some bit of contact information that helps you. You can also bring cue cards with you. I don't like people that rely on gadgets. That's just me. I don't like the gadget. I find it very interfering. I want to hear what you're sharing. I want to know what's keeping you up at night. What's making you respond to these characters' voices chattering and nattering in your head that makes you get up, sit down at a computer, and type your fool brains out? I want to know what makes you do that. But don't sit down and tell me, oh, I've got to write. I always wanted to write. It's my passion. I got that. That's why you paid $600 or $700 to get in. By the way, we don't get paid for Pitch Fest. You should know that we don't get paid a dime. They give us maybe $50 or $100 per diem for meals, but we don't earn any money. We volunteer to help because we have an agenda. We want to find stuff, you know. Somebody asked me, what do you do when you pass on something that's a big hit? And I answered that question, I think, on the thread. You guys may have seen it, but it speaks to Phil and Bad Penguin. Phil pitched me Bad Penguin. I loved it, but I have no contacts in animation, very few. It's one of the weaknesses of our agency. Animation is so in-house and does pitching so much from within. It's very hard for me to crack into that. I have to use actors and actresses who like me and know me to help me get into that little niche. They very often develop from within. It's a very cloistered community. It's very techno hip. And they have, if there's a story out there, they're developing it. I can almost promise you there's nothing new to them. I mean, anybody who can come up with a rat who's a chef, you know that they're fixing stuff. They're really working on stuff internally. But Phil pitched me Bad Penguin, and it was a great read. I mean, the guy can write. It's clearly obvious, but I couldn't go anywhere with it. And I told him that. I said, I can hip pocket it for you if you need help getting it in front of somebody who won't read it without an agent. Absolutely. You know, I'll hip pocket anything. If a producer, by the way, guys, comes up to you and says, I'll read your script if you have an agent, make sure somebody at Simply Scripts knows about it so I can run with it for you. And if you're not snarking at me, and if you're not a pain, and you're not giving me a hard time, and I'll take a look at the first 10 pages and I'll tell you straight up before I hip pocket it, you got to dust off this. I mean, John Cahill, perfect example. I go, John, can you, yep. And then can you, yep. And then, yep. Did it sell? No. So what? He looks like a pro. I look like a pro. And the producer made a great impression on this producer. So when this producer is ready, he's going to come right back to us. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. People don't want to work with you if you're going to be noisy. So when you're sitting at Pitch Fest, just tell them straight up, you know, I'm really easy to work with. I love collaboration. I know for a fact that a screenplay is a blueprint that invites collaboration. A friend of mine just told me recently, he said, you know, I've got this script and I don't know what to do with it. And I read it and I said, put another writer on it. If you don't mind giving away a credit, put another writer on it. Put somebody who's got more talent than you. You are clearly a concept guy. I actually signed a guy based on his concept only. I may have even said this before. The guy kicked me the script back a couple of times. It just wasn't firing. I put someone else on it. Boom. Came to life. I mean, when you read this, it sizzles. It really, really sizzles on the page. It's hard to believe. Okay, time for the announcements. Dun, da, 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 da. I hope they do play Werewolves of London at the close of the show today. That would be highly appropriate. They may or may not. That's up to Michael. I don't know if he's allowed to, but here we go. First place, the winner and honorable mention. So let's do honorable mention first. Honorable mention goes to Ahu. Who wrote that? We all know. Da, 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 da. Mr. Shoutout. Okay. Honorable mention because the title's hysterical. Ahu, come on, that's funny. First place runner-up, I found this script to be very eerie and fun. I hope you all read it, is Werewolves by John Carlson. He did a fantastic job. It is absolutely beautiful. The winner of the werewolf competition is Trail of the Werewolf. Trail of the Wolf. He wins top number one spot. He is the winner. Trail of the Wolf. And let's talk about that for a minute. And I got to give you the guy's name. When I read Trail of the Wolf, I thought to myself, okay, somebody's punking me. This is just too good. It's not real. This is actually a hit. Trail of the Wolf was written by a guy named Ryan Lee. Ryan Lee pitched me Trail of the Wolf, and I laughed out loud. And I don't see it posted on the boards, but Trail of the Wolf by Ryan Lee is the winner. He did a phenomenal job, and I can't thank you all enough. You did a superb job trying to get this rocking. I know how hard it is using someone else's words. Believe me, I do it all the time for pitches. But I want you to know I've had a very good time helping you. I can't wait to talk to you again next month. I can't believe that a half hour has gone by already. If you guys have questions, you can put them on the board, and time permitting, I will answer them. I should tell you, just so you know, that the summer is ending, and my schedule goes to a sincerely big uptick. I get very busy starting September 1. If I don't answer you with the length and the detail, or if I don't answer you at all, please don't freak out. It just means I haven't had the time. You're not being ignored. I only have two interns. It's a small office. We're very, very busy, thank God. We're in the process of writing a couple of contracts, and so that's got to be where my time is devoted. But if you shoot me, you know, if you put it on the thread and I can catch it, I will absolutely answer you guys. Thank you so much for letting me into your lives. Thank you so much for letting me help you. You actually are helping me when you share this stuff with me. And remember, the main question that you want to ask an agent or anybody in this business, how can I help you? Help me. This is Babs for Babs Buzz signing off once again. And remember, you've got to keep writing, you've got to keep rewriting, and you've got to live your life. Peace. Yeah.
kind of gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.